Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode Double Hundo, the amount of trombones in the big parade, baby.
Oh, shit, you did it. Yeah, huh. You subverted me. I thought for sure you were going to go with my, bicentennial joke, 200. And
uh-huh.
Nope. Nope, you went to Gary, Indiana with me.
Yeah, I think that that show is set in the fictional River City, Iowa, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But the monorail man, whatever his name was.
He's from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, whatever the huckster is, I can't remember his name because I haven't.
Yeah, I can't remember. The Music Man is kind of fun.
I mean, I played a performance of it. But
oh, yeah, you played bassoon for it, I assume.
No, I played euphonium for it, because there wasn't a bassoon part.
Mm. But there was a euphonium.
Well, yeah, because euphonium and trombones are the same key, the same range. It's basically the same instrument, just one has valves, so.
I'm going to say, I don't even know what a euphonium is, if I'm being 100% honest.
It's like a mini tuba.
I was going to power through that personally.
Yeah, okay. No, it's a baritone. It's a baritone. It's like a mini tuba, except they came first, and then you had Wagner tubas, which is a whole thing, because, you know, Wagner.
Okay.
Fuck Wagner.
He's a Nazi, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well pre-Nazi, like, but
he's still like a German exceptionalist who purported very, very nationalist tendencies.
And his sister carried on his legacy by shutting out anyone of the Jewish faith from being a sponsored composer or conductor in Germany and Austria.
Yep.
For the rest of her life.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Real bad cool guy. Stuff. A real bad family. Anyway.
You know who hates Wagner?
Me?
Yes. All well-minded people. Ken Russell. There are at least two Ken Russell movies where Wagner and the Wagner family heavily feature as villains.
Well, there's that Wagner one, and then I assume the List one, maybe?
Listomania and Mahler, yes.
Oh, both. Mahler, yeah, mm-hmm. Mahler. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense to me.
So anyway, that's me and Seth, and Zach is also here, and he's staring off into the distance, thinking about how we used to talk about things that he enjoyed on this show.
I was looking at the spreadsheet. Yeah, I'm very tired. It's,
I think we're all just shambling through it right now.
It's that February malaise, man. The winter has gone on too long, and that's bad enough, but I know there's more to come, and that makes it worse.
Why can't we have a February déjeuner? I don't actually like a déjeuner, but
I thought
it was a pretty good joke.
Let me mix my own shit. I don't want you doing it for me.
What about a February craft?
Well... That's too
another thing I don't particularly care for on its own.
I don't like mustard at all, so.
Me neither. I'll put it in a vinaigrette, of course, because
I'll use
a
different emulsifier. But I do like mustard seed though, like raw mustard seed. When you mix it into like a curry and things like that, it does add something.
Well, sure, I'll toast a mustard seed in a curry. Yeah, absolutely.
I started using fenugreek leaves in my curry because of Seth, and man, it really does up the game.
It adds that depth.
It really does.
Yeah. And it's a more subtle than fenugreek seeds, which are like really goddamn intense. So it adds like a brightness to things.
It does. Yeah.
Remember when we were talking about things before we started recording that we were making each other laugh.
It's weird how that works.
We decided, you know what, we're not having fun anymore. Let's start doing our ostensibly comedic show.
Now that we're bummed out, maybe other people want to hear it and be bummed out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're like the real real even keeled Quaalude episode here, like gonna lull y'all to sleep.
Yep.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, should we
while we're down and dirty, let's thank Marielle, of course, for her continued friendship and all of her efforts, even though Twitter is gone and we don't Twitter anymore. Mm-hmm. We still love you, Marielle. And Kev, our head of our street team.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Who
always
has he ever actually done any street team stuff, guys?
No. Didn't he? I thought he did. I thought he put a sticker up somewhere.
I've given people stickers.
Yeah. I think you've done more street team, and I tried to get him to make a zine for us, but I don't think that ever happened. So.
Oh, a zine's fun. A zine is fun.
Zines? Yeah. Do they still exist? Because I feel like even a couple of years ago, I still saw zines. But
yeah,
I mean physically cut,
staple,
and put together a zine a few years ago for a...
What kind of folio pattern did you use? Stitching and whatnot?
I didn't stitch them. I stapled. Okay. Yeah, you know, I wasn't... Listen, I've sewn fascicles together before. I understand how to do it. This was quick and dirty, baby.
Like, if you bind a zine, it ceases to be a zine.
Be a zine, right? Yeah. Seth, you don't write as much bad poetry as me without knowing how to sew together your own damn fascicles.
Like, you're right. You're right. I apologize for the presumption.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
See, we can still make each other laugh.
Man. Yeah, you're right. As long as we're mean to each other, suitably mean to each other. Yeah. 276. That's what episode is, to be clear. Oh, guys, I have an announcement to make. Take one last look at the glorious locks.
Yeah.
They're going. Man. They're getting.
How short are we going now?
Not super short.
An undercut? I'm thinking, are you gonna do an undercut?
No, I'm not a soccer player or a Nazi. So
I know.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
What about a skullet?
I am not willing to commit to that bit at this point in my life.
You what could about, reverse mohawk or something.
Yeah. I mean, I did. I had that mohawk that Lee helped me cut, so you could do that. That's
true. Yeah.
All of these end in shaved head, though, so you got to really commit is the thing.
Okay, what about a reverse mohawk where it's party in the back and or party in the front and business in
that's
the back?
That's just an undercut. I think we covered that one.
Yeah. No. It has to be really long bangs. Like
You're just in the Misfits then. That's a devil lock.
Yeah, but you could also be the Pringles man. Just style it like a mustache, and then
Does the Pringles man have a name?
No. Probably.
Pop. I think it might be Pop. Actually,
it might be Pop. That sounds right. That. Mm-hmm. You've convinced me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I said it with such confidence. There's no way you couldn't.
Sure.
Yep. Jamaican me Pringles, baby.
What does that mean?
They're really good.
No,
they're still really good. I never think about Pringles ever, but when they're around,
like every couple of months, I get some Pringles, and it's like, I don't have Pringles anymore because I ate them.
Yeah, you put one in your mouth, and you're like, God damn, they're putting crack cocaine in these things. They're so goddamn good.
Hey, speaking of unconventional chips, Munchos don't cost $2 anymore.
No.
Oh, nothing does. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. Five,
the
six.
Fuck.
Yeah, I saw. Bad. I saw like a smaller bag of like Ruffles was $6.50. I was like,
Them the chips, absolute sodas.
I've really been treating myself to a little ginger ale almost every day. You know,
it's breaking
the bank. It has nothing. Yeah. The alcohol I buy has nothing to do with the amount of money I'm spending.
Yeah,
honey, we gotta cut the ginger out. It's fucking killing us.
It's like $4 a week.
Yeah,
for little cans.
It is funny how your brain works like that. Where you go out to a restaurant, spend $100 or something, but I go and look at a 12 pack of Coke Zeros, and I'm like, $6, and we fucking rich. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm, I can go without breakfast this week, honey.
Yeah,
I don't need these granola bars that I shove in my mouth between meetings.
Yep. That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Woof.
What a life. So Lee's faking a movie this week.
That's true.
Yeah. So what you got? What you
and
got?
My movie has nothing to do with late stage capitalism. I don't think it does. I actually don't remember. I wrote it a few days ago. Mm. I have a few. I'll give the name and the people as customary, and then I have a couple so much failed ideas. They're more just musings. I have a couple musings, and then I'll get into my.
You got to let the farts out before the good turd comes out. We all know this.
Blast them on out. All right, so the movie that I was that you guys gave me this week is called The Guyver.
I assume
that's the pronunciation.
Now, I was telling Seth before you got on the call, Lee. I told my mother, who was at my house today, that we're doing The Guyver, and she goes, MacGyver? And I go, yeah, you think they would have workshopped that name a little bit, but they didn't. They really
didn't.
I think
one of my musings is related to that. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Like how the Guyver got his Mac?
No, but that's nice. We could, have Richard Dean Anderson go to the Apple store and talk to a genius there,
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it could be a
Stargate.
A Stargate spinoff, thank you. Yep. All right, so there's a bonus. That's bonus there.
Perfect.
The Guyver, and the people you gave me were Jimmy J.J. Walker, a 70s sitcom star.
Okay, so I gave you this in the order in which they appeared, but I am amazed that he is billed before any of these other people.
Michael Berryman, who I'm not familiar with.
He has some sort of... I don't know if you'd call it a birth defect or something. He's in A Hills Have Eyes and other things.
The Hills Have Eyes guy.
His head and
face
are
He's a tall guy without hair.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Michael Berryman.
Yeah, he's pretty. It looks like he has ectodermal dysplasia. Yeah.
Well, his role, I'm glancing down at the movie I wrote, and his role will not make much sense.
Whatever.
It's fine.
Sure. Mark Hamill.
Uh-huh.
Third build. Love to see it.
Mr. the voice of the Joker himself.
That's a credit, I guess. Yeah.
That is one of his largest credits now.
It is. I wouldn't say the largest, but
Mr. live action The Trickster in two different Flash TV shows.
And he in one episode of Justice League Unlimited, he also played The Trickster, which was hilarious.
Mm. Okay, cool.
I like The Trickster because he's so shitty.
Yeah, like a lot of Flash villains, honestly.
What, you have Gorilla Grodd, the
Captain
Trickster,
Cold,
Captain Boomerang, also.
Captain Boomerang, more than one captain, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. Man, Crunch. He's a real sky captain in the world of tomorrow.
There's a fire one, too. I don't remember what his name is.
I don't remember.
But he always seemed more threatening than Captain Cold because he could, like, burn you to death.
Could it be Firefly?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I feel like that's a Batman villain. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and like all the other speedsters, like Reverse Flash and Professor Zoom.
I do like Professor Zoom's name. It's pretty good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Before we had ChatGPT to come up with names, what a travesty.
Yeah, people just used to flip to Silver Age comic books for their nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it,
so
help me with the help me with the pronunciation. Is this Lene Quigley? Is that the?
I believe so.
I think that's correct. Yes.
No idea who that is. Mm-hmm.
She is an 80s Bihar person. She's in a couple of very famous ones, and then like 200 not very famous ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's from Davenport, Iowa. So that's fun.
Mm. Oh, that's cool. A place that I don't enjoy. fucking Quad Cities, baby. They have a whole pizza style of their own there, and it's
everybody has their own regional pizza style, and they all suck.
The one where I live is called Shitty New York City Style.
Yeah, I remember Zach.
It's way worse.
You used to be like baffled when I would defend pizza from where I'm from because you had only ever because you had only ever had the regionally locked specific version. And you didn't have the 900 New York pizza makers who retired and moved to my hometown and opened up a New York pizza shop. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, but like anyone does with their home area is you take people to get the stereotypical thing or the quintessential thing. Mm-hmm. And your quintessential thing is confounding. It's very weird.
It's weird and I enjoy it. as its own thing. But when I talk about pizza from where I'm from, I'm talking about how there's just lots of really good New York style pizza.
You have a proximity to New York that is much more advantageous than where I currently live.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Y'all know that the secret to, you know, oh, the New York style, oh, it's the water we use for the dough. It's because there's a bunch of little shrimp in the water.
Oh, I thought they did actual scientific studies.
Yeah, the scientific study was like, oh, there's a lot of little shrimp in this water.
And then they're like, should we tell people about this? We probably shouldn't tell people about this.
Hey, you're not the guy who delivers the rat droppings.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh.
Okay, and then finally, I'll do a quick recap of the cast. Finally, the last cast member gave me Jeffrey Combs, Dr. Sure. Herbert West himself. So, really quickly, the Guyver, Jimmy J.J. Walker, Michael Berryman, Mark Hamill, Linnea Quigley, and Jeffrey Combs. All right, here's my musings. Based on Jeffrey Combs and I assume a live action Mark Hamill that's not named Star Wars, I'm guessing this is a low budget horror movie of some sort.
Interesting. I hadn't considered that Mark Hamill might done a voice, but based on the timing, I think he was still mostly doing live action.
Yeah, I assume this is live action, and since it's live action Hamill and Jeffrey Combs, I imagine this is probably a low-budget horror movie in reality.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that if that's accurate.
It's hard to define, surprisingly. Okay.
This isn't the one where Mark Hamill, like, mutates weirdly in some way. Like, he's a baseball player.
No. Well, you had me until baseball player.
Okay. Wow, he must have done a lot of these then. All right.
He was trying to un-Star Wars himself.
He was.
Or just taking roles that he could get. So here's some more musings. Mm-hmm. It's the Highlander, like, but with MacGyver. But that's stupid and spelled differently. There's no U in MacGyver. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. It's just spelled GYVER. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Is this just the Lois Lowry novel, The Giver, but with a bad Australian accent? Probably not.
The Giver.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nar. That's one of those jokes that, like, is funny, but is also nothing. You can't movie that.
Ew. Exactly.
I think I've made a movie out of a flimsier pretense. So.
You probably have.
In a pinch. I mean,
I also remember
that time I just read the synopsis of Shrek?
Yes, I do. I was mad at you.
Yeah, we were both a little frustrated with that. Yeah. Thank you.
That was a very fun goof for me.
Lois Lowry in an Australian accent, probably not. But speaking of Australia, don't Michael Berryman and Linnea Quigley kind of sound like Australian names? Yes or nar?
Yes. Yes. Solid.
That was,
yes.
It was well written. I guess.
Fun.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get to here's the real thing. So we
dump on Australia a lot. I have new partners ish at work, and they're Australian, and I'm gonna have to never reveal the podcast because we are not kind to Australia. I think generally.
I don't know. I think they're used to it.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, we did say something about being deceptive the other day, and he goes, well, we're all criminals, so what does it matter? And I was like, mm-hmm. Well, you guys do that thing. Okay. Yeah. I thought we just did that thing.
that's nice.
I mean,
now you have to gauge how much you can do the thing, though.
Yeah, I don't think I have a pass for that yet.
There's that one prime minister that, like, shit himself.
In a Macca's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a Macca's, yeah. Maybe it was McCon?
Isn't it the current prime minister previous prime minister?
Yeah.
Huh. I can see that not being a weird thing at all for Australia. Everybody's just like, yeah, that'll happen. Move it on.
It's McDonald's. Sometimes it makes you shit. All right, so here's my real thing.
Mm. Yep.
And this is, I'm going to read this as I wrote it. So I have no ideas, so I'm doing a Seth.
Oh, good.
Guyver is a terrible title. It's a very terrible title.
Yeah. Ver can translate to see or watch in Spanish. So this movie is all about watching the guys. We're doing a male beauty pageant.
Oh,
wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Think pumping iron or like more that's maybe more realistic than what I'm going for. Like, maybe less seriously, like a Drop Dead Gorgeous. We're the movie's gonna be mostly meeting the competitors as the like different stages of the pageant
or
go
blow
on, so.
Out,
sure,
blow dry, blow,
blow dry. You actually got it with that one, Blow Dry. Blow Dry is a little more plotty than I was thinking, though. I want this to feel like a documentary a little bit.
More,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Like a faux documentary. So JJ is the defending champ. He's the best there is, the best there was. Yet his star is fading, and he's struggling with letting go. So that's his whole deal.
Okay.
Michael is the young upstart who is very naive, and we sadly see him fall under the sway of Jeffrey Combs, who plies him with performance enhancers. And in this case, okay, the performance enhancers are mostly like petroleum jelly for his smile, but you know, we can get a little more adult if we need to.
Sure. This isn't like bodybuilding. It's a male beauty pageant, right?
I think I was going back and forth in my head whether it was bodybuilding, yeah, or I don't know, yeah, if I ever truly settled on,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because they, yeah, have like crazy, I don't know, like sulfurous oil that dyes, mm-hmm, their skin and, mm-hmm, shit.
Seth, so. I went down, mm-hmm, a Mr. Olympia rabbit hole yesterday on Wikipedia. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. Like looking up wrestlers that wrestled 20 years ago. They're all dead or on drugs. Yeah. It's a sad,
well, it
situation.
Turns out there's a really famous three-time Mr. Olympia from, mm, adjacent my hometown.
Oh, you don't say.
Who, yeah, and I was reading about him a lot. Anyway.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Hey, so... I think that's, I wrote this a few days ago, and I think I was thinking about bodybuilding the whole time, even though I didn't really ever get to bodybuilding here in this, but
yeah,
but yeah, I did some reading on bodybuilding. Weird,
sure,
shit.
Oh yeah, for sure. This cast does not lend itself to a bodybuilding kind of situation, so.
Right, yeah.
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 So then we've got Jeffrey Combs. He isn't just a pusher, he's also a competitor.
Sure.
And right, like, he may have, I think in my head, he won once, like a long time ago when he was like early in his career. Mm-hmm. Now he's become a very controversial figure because he had like another victory at one point that didn't end up getting overturned, but most of the people in the community think it should have been.
Mm-hmm. He Barry Bonds'd it. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason or another. So he truly, what we learn from his character is he truly doesn't see what he did, whatever,
as wrong. Right.
As wrong. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, he's a gray area. Fuck it. Why couldn't I?
He very Barry Bonds'd it, turns,
yeah,
out. Yeah.
and then the other thing we get out of his character is his influence over Michael mm-hmm. is portrayed as like gamesmanship in his mind. Where mm-hmm. Michael thinks he's like learning from Jeffrey Combs, and then like we see him struggling with like taking these shortcuts. Jeffrey Combs is actually fucking with him, and he sees it as like gamesmanship. He's like, this right. guy's a threat. I can beat the other guys. Like, I'm gonna ruin this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So then Mark Hamill is the fan favorite, but he's never won.
Yeah, I could see that.
The closest he ever came was the controversial Jeffrey Combs year that didn't get overturned. And he's just never been able to either, one, get over that, get over that loss, because mm-hmm. he feels like if it was a fair playing field, I would have done it. Mm-hmm. But also, he's never been able to get over the hump. He's like, he's perennially like third place. And you know, I'm thinking if y'all are World's Strongest Man watchers, I'm thinking Phil Pfister, the American strongman, who did win in 2006, but for many years it was like, Phil Pfister, when's he going to win? He's never going to win. But
this is such a fun lane where you looked up bodybuilding earlier, and you do this a lot, and I love it about you, where you have to drop the knowledge of the thing that you just recently Wikipedia hold.
Here's the other thing, though. Bodybuilding and World's Strongest Man are different. I already knew yeah. about World's Strongest Man.
Sure. One is actually strong and one is intended to appear strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a bodybuilding story later, if I remember, to tell you about a personal connection to a bodybuilder that I have. So,
thought you were going to say you were in The Hunt back in the day. I was like,
yeah.
Never knew.
Yeah. Mark, closest he ever came, he came in second that of the year of the controversial Jeffrey Combs win. We spend a lot of time with Mark grappling with the idea of like whether he's actually good enough or whether he needs to just like everybody else is cheating, why shouldn't I, kind of, you know, like the game is changing, and like it's the internal struggle of Mark Hamill here.
It's just so silly because he's a child, man. He's so tiny and
yeah
weird.
But it might be a beauty pageant. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
it's that small. He's the same height as Lee and I, so
Guess I don't know, he just always seems very diminutive to me.
because he plays the young guy, like
he does. Well, and then in this movie as well, he was trying to break out of the Luke Skywalker thing, and so he plays sort of aggressively off type roles, and it just looks insane.
Like, he has a mustache so stupid. In this, by the way.
He does. It looks so crazy.
Yeah,
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Okay. Linnea Quigley is the person who runs the event, and we see that through these scenes, we find out that the event is in financial distress. And there's a very good chance that no matter what happens, this is the last year. Like, the Guyver is going to end after this year. And, like, the competitors do not know. We get to the day of the competition. The competitors finally learn that this is it. This is going to be the last one. And they go into the competition with heavy hearts. And we see all that beef parade around as the competitors. I guess at this point I was thinking bodybuilding. Yeah, all the beef parade around as the competitors.
Real meat market out there.
The competitors have decided that they need to fucking blow it out of the water for their own pride. Even if they, no matter where they finish.
They're going to flex so hard that their muscles explode. Because why not?
Pretty cool. I like it. Yeah,
it's got to be an auto win for that. Yeah.
So, and then the movie ends right before we find out who actually wins. But like the last scene is we can see all the competitors are on stage and they're like holding hands in unity with like a, and they all have like a look of hope on their eyes. And my thought for the last shot is like the lights just keep getting brighter and brighter. Like there's some sort of overexposure effect on the lens. Uh-huh. And the announcement of the winner, like as they're leading up to it, starts to sound more and more distant until it's completely inaudible. And we just don't hear who wins. And that's, and you know, by the time it's completely just inaudible noises, the whole frame has been overexposed. And like, that's the end. Yeah.
You're very good at final scenes. I feel like. Like, yeah, you do that a lot, and it's really,
and that's what people describe death as being like, and this is the death of the competition, and that is really good. When you said it was the last one, my brain immediately went, it turns into the Thunderdome. These dudes want to win at all costs, and they're going to all go way over the top and try to kill each other, and their muscles explode. But you went like the good-natured version. That's fun. Yeah.
Okay. In my head, they're still going all out, but they're going all out in a way of like, I understand why you did it this way, and I understand why you did it that way. And it's like this thing that we dedicate our lives to is going away. And like celebrating it is more important in this moment than in
It's the we're not so different after all kind of version.
All right, before we get into the main movie, Lee, you're not allowed to look it up on Wikipedia, so don't.
Yeah, I won't. All right. I'll look at porn.
Okay, good.
Well,
good.
You might find it just incidentally doing that.
Yeah, I mean, could be, oddly. He has that, like, protrusion on the top of his head that comes up more than once. So.
He does. And also, Seth, we talked about this thing that maybe the weirdest part that I saw in the entire movie, and I asked if you had seen it. You didn't, so I'm going to just say it in my notes eventually.
All right. Lee, before I read, this is a 1991 film. And before I read a summary,
91 is like still in the vein of weird 80s movies.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Oh, it was here for sure.
I'm going to read you verbatim the opening crawl to this film.
There's a crawl.
Yeah.
This
is Luke tried to get out of Star Wars and he failed.
Yeah.
you can't bring the Luke out of the Star Wars. You get the Star Wars into the Luke.
Yeah, that's true. So let me see if I can actually pronounce most of this stuff, but this is the text on the screen that takes, I don't know, like 6 minutes to slowly get through.
Now, Seth, you said you were going to practice this because it is very dense and inscrutable, but
I didn't.
You know. Okay.
Why would I? So here we go. At the beginning of time, aliens came to Earth to create the ultimate organic weapon. They created mankind. By planting a special gene into man, they created the Zoonoids, humans who can change at will into super monster soldiers. Eons later, the Zoonoids' leader, called the Zoalord, has awakened and formed the Kronos Corporation to further develop the Zoonoid technology for world domination. Among the alien remains was found the, quote, unit, end quote, a bio-boosted alien armor. Worn by the aliens, it serves as an ordinary shield. If the wearer is a human, it increases his natural powers 100-fold. He becomes MacGyver. But how to activate it remains a mystery.
It's still going. It's still, we're like halfway through. Yeah.
How long is this?
Very long.
Sagawa, a research scientist at Kronos, senses danger of this, quote, unit, end quote, is activated by the Zoalord. Now the doctor has stolen it and is on the run. That's the end. That's the end of it.
Did they cut, like, was the plan, did they film or plan to film a first movie and then it fell through and they were like, this one's cheaper?
No.
Like,
so this is based off of a manga, so I think there's a lot of actual lore.
Okay, that makes so much more sense.
Loosely
yeah.
based on the manga, it seems.
It is. It's not.
I have a few questions. Right. One, the very beginning of it sounds like Prometheus.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
The why do they explain why it's called MacGyver? That's not like a word.
Nope.
Great. Nope.
All right, let me read you the summary or the
okay. The... Right, IMDb. We do that.
That's all pre-movie. Yeah. This is just setting up for the movie.
That. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So this is the two-sentence summary on IMDb. A young man discovers a mechanical device that merges with his own body, turning him into a cyborg superhero. When strange creatures start appearing, trying to take the device back, he begins to uncover a secret plot to genetically engineer terrifying monsters. This makes the plot sound way better than it is.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because this sounds really... like a dumb superhero movie. This movie was not that.
They cut the chaff on the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. Let me ask a quick question.
Yeah. Sure. Uh-huh. You're going to have more, by the way.
So many.
How low?
Uh-huh.
Was this budget? Like, is this whole movie just in a room and like then it's in a different room?
Actually, no.
So much info on that thing specifically.
Yeah. Wow. It's kind of baffling. Yeah.
Yeah. The budget was $3 million. There's no box office numbers for it. We can get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. The budget is $3
million. Probably a video store classic, you know?
Yeah. One of the main critical info bits about this is it's directed by someone named Screaming Mad George, who is a Japanese man who dresses almost exclusively in drag in normal everyday life, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Huh. He, by trade, is a makeup and prosthetics VFX kind of person. So the hypothesis that Seth and I had was he mostly wanted to do that, but he also directed this movie. All of the money went into cool rubber and latex suits, like all of it. And the plot was nothing. It is meaningless.
There's a fun part near the end where Mark Hamill is transformed into like a half cockroach man.
Yeah, and it gets like, really big.
I've seen this transformation sequence.
Yeah,
you said like transforms.
Gross. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You said transforms, and I was like, "Huh?" And then you said baseball player, and I went, "Oh."
I think he might use a bat at one. Oh no, he's using a lead pipe to try to kill somebody. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
I know. Okay. I know why I know the name Screaming Mad George. He did the makeup for Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Yes, that was a big one.
Among many other things, but like that's tons the one that stuff. I know it that specifically
Absolutely.
From.
Yeah. Seems like a fun guy. I read his entire wiki page. There's not that much info on him, but I was like, I need to know more. This guy seems dope. Slightly longer summary.
Well, maybe who the actors were or want to. If not, it probably comes up in your summary.
You could just give me the slightly on your summary. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
So there's this suit. Scientist guy steals it, knowing its power is dangerous in the wrong hands. Mm-hmm. Evil Corp TM henchmen hunt him down and kill him, taking it back. Except it's not in the briefcase that they thought it was in. It's just sort of hanging out in some literal trash on the side of the road.
Yep.
So
Michael Berryman is one of the henchmen.
Yeah.
He's like the main henchman. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The
Linnea Quigley is also one of
them. Yes, I couldn't remember her name. She is one as well. Yeah. The recently dead doctor's daughter is told of his death by Mark Hamill, who is a CIA agent with the aforementioned mustache and looks completely insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her main character boyfriend is Sean, and he is tagging along at the crime scene, which they are just walking through directly, confusingly. And Sean, who is the sort of noted dum-dum of the group, finds the Guyver unit. It's just this little, like, kind of discus-sized thing.
Yeah, and he fights. He's, like, getting mugged by a bunch of ruffians.
Yeah.
Make fun of his scooter.
They do, yeah. The thug gang
scooters are cool, though.
Really wild, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's literally in the next part of my summary. So later on, he finds himself in a karate fight with a confusingly multiracial gang of street toughs. Would you believe it?
Yeah. In like Los Angeles, it's quite bad.
Los Angeles during the crack epidemic, and there's like every race under the sun. I was like, United Colors of Benetton formed a gang. This is great. Yeah,
it's amazing that joke is still legible.
Yeah,
like, I know. It's at least 30 years old at this point. Yeah,
yeah. Like, when has Benetton been a thing? But like, everyone knows what that joke means.
I know.
Like,
I know. Yeah. He's doing pretty well at the karate part of this whole endeavor. Yeah. And then accidentally mashes his face into this little device thing that fuses with his body.
Like, and then he just,
takes him over. It's a whole thing. And then he just rolls all seven of these dudes, just fucks them up entirely. Because the suit is 100 times more powerful, as the crawl like a Beetleborg indicated.
Outfit.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Seriously, that's what it looks like. You'll get to see it in a second. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I notice, I've now named the main guy. I got the whole way through the synopsis realizing I didn't know what the main character's name was, and then I peppered it back in, but not everywhere. So.
Sure, just call him main guy. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's literally what it says here. Main character finds his sensei dad, and it's clear that the evil corp is out to get him. Like, they're now hot on his tail.
Mm-hmm.
So they somehow end up in a warehouse, very confusingly, led by Skywalker. Interestingly, the wiki synopsis, which I usually use to cross-reference my understanding of the movie as I'm watching it, is wrong here, which might be a first of all time on the podcast.
Also, there are typos in the wiki summary.
Like, I think like one
number of typos.
Yeah, I think one guy wrote this in 2002, and it has never been touched since.
Yeah, but you just think about it this way: is like, it was a labor of love for someone.
Yeah, oh, sure. I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. And God love him. Yeah. They square off against the baddie Zoonoids with some goofy cartoon violence. The first of infinite cartoon violence.
It happens a lot. It just whiplashes between trying to be gritty, and then there's like cartoon sounds as a guy gets punched.
Literal punch, and then like boy-yo-yo-yo-yoing. It's crazy. No, seriously,
that happens a lot.
That sounds very fun.
Like, honestly, somebody is bleeding and being like, oh, you can't, and then, you know...
It's really goofy. Oh, and fade wipes where the screen like fades and white. It's very confusing.
A hallmark of like
Mark
this
Hamill?
Guy has never directed a movie before,
because fade wipes happen.
He had not
in Star Trek War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is Screamin' Mad George's only director credit. I could be wrong about that. I'm not sure.
That's fun. He walked in here. He gave us the Guyver, and he was like, I'm done. That's all I needed. I got my dream on the screen.
And he did. I think he really did. Yeah. All right. Critically, everyone realizes the suit's one weakness when the Guyver does a headbutt in one of the fights and the suit like glitches a little bit. You have to have an Achilles heel, right? That's sort of always the thing.
And that is true earlier, because the big head henchman kills one of his, or no, the big evil boss, the Zoa Lord, kills one of the other henchmen by pulling out a thing in his forehead.
Yeah. This is where the suit originates, I guess, and then kind of covers your whole body. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Well, you'll see in a second.
Yeah, you sure will. So they capitalize on this newfound weakness. Dude gets some good shots in, but thinks that he's killed his girlfriend, the doctor's daughter, in the process. Mm-hmm. In his distraught state, the baddies overpower him and rip the critical head bit off, which kills the dude. It takes some version of his, some part of his head out with it.
Yeah, it
seems.
Takes like a bit of his brains out. It's pretty goopy.
It is real slimy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the GF wakes up in the Umbrella Corp police, head guy demanding to know how dude fused with the Guyver suit. Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Touched it.
Sean, it's fairly simple. Sean, main character, is not dead. Well, he's like half not dead. He's a puddle of goo connected to this thing. But his like essence is alive.
Yeah,
so they keep holding up the goo.
And everything is in the Guyver button.
They're taking a lot of leaps on the like Expo Deus Ex Machina stuff. Yeah. So at this point, Essence lives on. Scientists are observing what's going on with his goo plus Guyver situation, kind of trying to keep him alive or regrow him. It's not 100% clear.
Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah. Luke is literally in a Bacta tank, like very literally.
Yeah.
So again, cannot escape the Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter goes.
They found it in the dumpster outside Pinewood. Like,
yeah. Just like, I don't know. That'll work. We only have $3 million. It's fine.
Yeah. They were just sort of in like fights after this, right? Like,
mostly fights, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, daughter goes on to kill the control metal, as they're calling it, and Sean's goo gets stuck to her fingers a whole bunch.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
The one of the bad guys who is now in Zoanoid form, which is like goofy Power Rangers kind of
aliens.
Which
you'll see in a second.
Yeah. Swipes it out of her hand and into another monster's mouth, and he swallows it.
Uh-huh.
And then they all have to fight and goofs abound. Again, the cartooniness is like so on the nose. It's really good.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, almost done. Once inside the host, quote-unquote, Guyver is very quickly regenerated. He tauntauns out of the monster and just starts wrecking house.
I was wondering if we were going to have an exploding out of
the
body.
He just explodes out of this guy. It's like a goat monster this time. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. But he is like more powerful than before, and he seems to like understand his situation a little more now. So
by 100-fold,
hundredfold. That's
so
what it said.
Yeah, so the Jedi is mostly ineffectual in this whole process, and the princess does most of the actual killing. She's like quite capable, even though she's just a human. Eventually, they sort of kill all the monsters. Luke transforms into a Zoanoid, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
straight out of a Cronenberg movie. They do the whole like the entire no cut process from human to full cockroach monster.
Nice.
It's very Cronenbergy and very good.
It's very body horror-y.
Yeah. The big bad morphs into a sort of mecha dinosaur, who then like really big, very, very big, and then fights Guyver and tries to steal the Guyver thing, but is killed by the Guyver exploding something out of his chest.
Yeah, he has like a particle beam is ultimate weapon in his chest, which was never introduced before.
It's not coming from a thing on top of his chest.
No,
it's coming from inside his chest.
Yeah.
Oh, so the power was inside of him the whole time.
Yeah,
yes.
True.
This confusingly,
and with the friends he made along the way.
Definitely that. Mm-hmm. Definitely mm-hmm. that. This confusingly does not kill the Guyver. I don't know how that works, but. Sean un-Guyvers himself. They make out. She gets him a modesty button down because he's now fully Donald Ducking it, having un-Guyvered. There's no clothes under the Guyver suit, and it feels like they kind of thought of that part like a little late in the process. And then at the end, J.J. Walker literally says, "Dynamite," and then the movie ends.
Really?
Yeah.
100%.
And they leave it open for a sequel.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Oscars did this movie win?
I know. It's like a nearly perfect movie for this group of three people. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, Lee, I just sent you...
this is a long video, Seth.
Oh,
I'm going to watch it when we're not recording.
Nope. You got to watch it now because I want to see your reaction.
Yeah. Right. Narrate while you do it.
Yeah,
possible,
and we could cut this out.
No, I'm gonna be silent.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so Guy...
Yep.
Oh, okay, boils...
Yep.
On his body are pumping.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's making a fist.
Mm-hmm. He's so angry.
Yeah, the girl is being held by a monster.
Mm-hmm.
He's shouting. Oh, we zoomed out. Weird, like, Hellraiser-y stuff going on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You said no clothes under the Guyver. Mm-hmm. He's got clothes on
for now.
Oh, when he was regenerated, he didn't have clothes.
I guess. Got it. Mm-hmm. The face stuff is great. He has a little fin. He's fighting a giant gremlin. Right now.
Yep. Michael Barry.
And a predator. Well, this guy worked on Predator, so that makes sense.
Yeah. They borrowed heavily for the likenesses of the Zoonoids.
Yes. They sure did.
Yeah, so that's the transformation. But then here's the more important clip.
Guys, we can't have me watching two videos on
I think we're doing it.
And you really need the sound for this one if you didn't have the other
time. No, I didn't. I don't know how I'm going to get it this time because I have the sound turned on.
The sound is important, though, so maybe
well, I can't hear it, Seth, so...
Okay.
All right.
Man. Anyway, there are multiple times where a monster raps.
Yep.
That's what's happening in this scene?
Yes.
It's not just a monster, it's always Jimmy J.J. Walker, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
As a monster who raps.
Seems questionable.
The monster also has dreads?
It was 1991, but... Yeah. It's and the raps are like, "Hey, I'm a monster and I'm here to say," like they're really bad. Yeah.
Well, you'll have to listen.
"Hey,
to
I'm a monster. I'm here to say I'm gonna kill you in a monster way."
Yeah, that is almost verbatim what happened. So
that's the one.
Neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multiple times.
So how many Oscars did it?
I think it swept that year, like 15.
At least. It's baffling.
It is.
And this is like in between scenes of body horror and like there's some odd scenes where like they start making out after main guy tells the main girl that his dad or her dad is dead. And then they're just like, nothing gets me hotter than learning about the death of my father. Dads.
Yeah, classic movie thing. It's like, how do you comfort a woman?
Yeah.
Sex.
It is. In terms of the breakneck tonal shifts in this movie, it does seem like somebody like this feels very Screaming Mad George based on what I know of him now. And no one ever was like, "Hey, this doesn't make sense." They were just like, "Yes, I see your vision and I want you to put everything you have into this." Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
really your heart. Great. Lay it on the celluloid.
Yeah. And we're all here for it. We're all here for it. Yeah.
Now, let me throw this out here. Mm-hmm. This is unrelated, kind of. Mm. Which director name is better, Screamin' Mad George or Savage Steve Holland?
It's tough. I think
Screamin' Mad George. I like Screamin' Mad
George. Yeah, Screamin' Mad George's real name is extremely Japanese, and apparently he picked Screamin' Mad George because he picked George because it sounded American, and then he was like, "Wait, that's actually quite boring," so he added Screamin' Mad to the front, which is, like, really fun.
That is very good. I like that a lot.
He also goes by Hepburn.
Well, that's pretty American too.
Or they also go by Hepburn.
I was looking for pronouns because it is ambiguous, and I kept seeing he everywhere. So
yeah,
I mean,
but I don't think anybody has like thought about that in terms of the wiki page and that sort of thing. So
for sure.
Also, Zach, Audrey Hepburn was British, by the way. Catherine Hepburn, very American. But
interesting.
Unrelated. Okay.
Sure. Well, good to know. My first note was the makeup and the suits do look cooler than Frigg.
Yeah.
Like, man, they are awesome.
They are pretty good, actually. Yeah. That Beetleborg thing, shit.
Oh, yeah. I said I think they spent 2.9 of the $3 million on latex alone. Mm-hmm. Like, it is all in the film.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like,
it's really good. Yeah.
There's a lot of movies like that, though. That's like effects low-ish budget effects movies. Yeah. It's like, you know, if we spend all our money on making the effects look cool, the rest doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that can be true, like, a surprising amount of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Mustache on Mark Hamill is very his version of Disney star doesn't want to seem like a kid anymore and tries to be sexy. And his voice in this movie is like a kid trying to sound like their dad. Like, his voice is literally just like, "Yeah. And yeah, we should check out the Zoonoids." Brr. And I'm like, Mark Hamill, what the fuck are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's now a literal voice actor, as we discussed, but like, this is not it.
Zoonoids are a problem. Yeah,
he's doing it's that thing. So that, like, silly. British actors do with American accents.
Overpronouncing their R's.
Well, and like Hugh Laurie is always like, well, if you talk like this, then of course that's how Americans talk. Give me a cheeseburger.
I think he looks good with the mustache.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. And I mean, you picture a fucking 1977 Luke Skywalker, and it's just like,
oof. You're just so used to the way he looks. That's all, you know. Let the man grow a mustache.
Yeah.
Zach.
Yeah, no, I've tried it.
Star
Didn't
Wars
work for
was
me,
14
but...
years earlier at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I can grow a mustache.
You can. You both can. I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, I gotta shave. I gotta get down to just mustache again.
That is a good look.
That was
That's
a good
really
time,
good
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Lee, I think you actually mentioned this when you were watching Clip, or maybe Seth, you did. The Guyver suit, when it deploys, almost looks like the Hellraiser hooks all dig it into the body meat.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really, really similar. And then it fits on the body like piece by piece. So it's like the hook scene in reverse because it's putting back all the body parts.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah,
yeah.
A real reverse Hellraiser on that guy.
Yeah, yeah. But like in the movie, I mean, that must have been very difficult to shoot. But in the movie, it's like 3 seconds. Like, I just love that kind of thing where I'm like, they spent a day and a half on this and it's barely a thing. Like,
Yeah. There was a team in a room working on this. Yeah. And if now, because we're so glued to our phones, you might even miss it.
Sure enough.
I wonder how many days they spent writing various raps.
They might have just had Jimmy J.J. Walker ad-lib them, honestly.
It's
he
entirely
seems like the kind of
possible
guy that could
because
do that.
They sound ad-libbed.
They do, yeah.
If the word rap is in your rap, there's a good chance that you didn't prepare for your rap.
Yeah.
It definitely might be in one of the two raps, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah. We talked about cartoon violence, Wile E. Coyote style. It's really wild. And at first it was jarring and I was like, this doesn't fit. But then the more of it you see, you're like, all right, I'm fine.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, you gotta get into the world that the movie's putting you in.
Yeah. Put the hat on.
But again, they're really like you break your neck from whiplash. Like I'm gonna call J.G. Wentworth or whatever.
Oh yeah, straight.
877 cash now? Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know, a corporation hit my car or whatever. I don't know what they do.
Well, who produced this movie? Maybe they could be held liable.
Oh,
well, it's possible. I'm sure they're now defunct.
I think it might have
bankrupt.
Been Bandai, but
Bandai Namco. They're still around.
No, it's New Line Cinema. Never mind.
Oh, that's they are not still around.
Yeah. So. That's a toughie.
That makes sense because New Line is also Nightmare. So that's he has a pre-existing Scream Mad George has a pre-existing relationship with this studio.
Yeah. And New Line was the We Take Chances on Horror-ish Movies company.
Oh
right?
Yeah, that's how they became a viable studio. Is
yeah,
they produced
that was
horror.
their whole thing in the beginning. It was kind of the proto Blumhouse sort of like, hey, if we do this for cheap and like even one of them works, like we're good.
Oh, yeah. So right. It was produced by a Japanese company, and then New Line was the American distributor.
They bought the rights to distribute it. Yeah.
But producer Yuzna expressed
confusion
at some of the choices.
Agreed. Not in a bad way, but agreed.
Brian Yuzna is a big B-movie producer. Like this is hearing that he was involved in this is not in any way surprising.
Yeah, you're right. It is Brian Yuzna. Yeah.
It's funny to make a career on B-movies where
I mean,
you're just
did,
not
he did
shooting
Reanimator,
higher.
Like, right?
Right, sure. Which explains Jeffrey Combs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose name in this is Dr. East?
Yeah, on purpose.
Well, that's a little tip of the hat right there.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
And he's also only in like 5 minutes of it.
He shows up.
I didn't notice a lot of Jeffrey Combs talking.
Yeah,
no, he's one of the scientists that reanimates Goop main guy.
Yeah, but he's there for maybe 3 minutes. It's not much.
Yeah,
this is like how many times can one wink at the camera via without falling over? He's reanimating his Dr. East. Yeah,
I don't think he holds up a syringe and squirts it, but like he might.
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
That seems likely, honestly.
Yeah.
Does he gaslight an assistant in some way?
Probably. He doesn't have a lot of time.
He does blame his assistant for something. Mm. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a little broad, but that feels very Jeffrey Combs.
Let's go with it.
Yeah.
Sure.
The thing that stood out the most to me, and that I still can't stop thinking about, having watched this movie about 10 days ago. So the female baddie is that person's name. Linnea Quigley. I can't remember again. That one.
Quigley Goes West, or whatever the fuck that Australian movie is.
Quigley Down Under.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a Selleck.
It is a Selleck. And you know what? It's not that bad. It's fine.
People like it.
Yeah. I kind of enjoyed it the time I saw it.
I think it's like a TNT classic.
Yeah. You know? I was in a depression spiral, but you know, that's like, what's new?
What? Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a Tuesday.
Her Zoonoid persona is like a Sasquatch, but with a bird face and full beak.
Yeah.
But
and it's pink.
It is pink. Critically, and I did not notice this, she is in the whole movie as this thing. Did not notice it till the end. She has full-blown tits. Truly.
Yeah, it's some fuzz, it's some real Sasquatch. Howard the Duck shit.
Yeah, Sasquatch fuzz
the monster
everywhere.
Is what
yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah, Sasquatch fuzz everywhere except for the tits, and they're not just like nipples like you'd see on like a dog or something. They are full-blown tits. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you made these costumes. Drew them at some point. You could have done so many other things. So
just to throw this out here, because I was looking up cast members as you guys have been telling me about the movie. You know what her most famous role is, right?
She shows her tits. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's she plays Trash in Return of the Living Dead.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And she does a full frontal striptease on a grave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Her name in this is Scream Queen.
Of course.
I mean, that is her life.
That is her profession. So
yeah. There is also the worst scene probably I've seen in a long time, where she and Michael Berryman are like sitting in a car, and she is just they were like making out, which whatever, but then they were just chewing extremely loud.
I see. Yeah. I understand now.
I about lost my goddamn. I almost had to stop the movie because I just could not handle it anymore.
Yeah. And she does like a Cyndi Lauper kind of impression thing, like with the voice and the smack and the gum and the stuff. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's
a lot.
Really unpleasant. Yeah.
Why is she so unusual?
This movie is only 88 minutes long, so
dope.
One trivia that was interesting. There were like four, and none of the other ones were good, but this one is incredible. So the DVD.
That's just a theory. A film theory.
I mean,
that guy just ended his channel, or he's leaving his channel and handing it off to new people.
I mean, I guess didn't he suck?
Could do that.
I'm pretty sure he sucked.
I don't know if he sucked or not. I just saw a thing about him leaving his channel. Mm-hmm. I know that his voice annoyed me, so I didn't really watch his videos.
The
DVD artwork, or the cover, or the poster, I don't know, but it's half the Guyver face and half a picture of a human face. And you'd think that human would be Sean, the person who played Sean. It's not.
The person who was in the Guyver.
It's Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Well, it's Mark
of
Hamill's
course
face.
It's Mark Hamill. You remember what video stores were like?
I understand the decision, but like for someone to get so far into whatever discussion transpired there and just go, yeah, he is Luke Skywalker though, isn't he? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like they weren't not gonna put Anthony Hopkins' face on the cover of Julie Taymor's Titus. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
You remember what that box looked like, don't you?
It's the full blue and he's got the thing down his nose.
Sure is.
I do to this day. Yeah.
And they put his name on the like marquee also.
Well, I mean, yeah, because that's how you sell a movie at a video store.
Are you not going to do that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's so wild. I mean, the guy who played Sean is like a nobody. But
yeah, I don't
it's
think
just
he did
really
anything
funny.
Else. So,
yeah.
I like that tagline. Part human, part alien, pure superpower.
It's true,
why not
I guess.
All superpower?
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, but you know, I got nothing. I got literally nothing. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Yep, that's all I got.
Yep.
Seth?
Nope, I'm out.
Okay. That'll do it.
Sounded like it was a fun movie, though.
It actually was. Yeah, it's pretty.
It really turned for me. It was like in the beginning. I mean, we've seen a lot of movies like this where it looks like absolute trash garbage, mm-hmm. and the first 10 minutes you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna have to suffer through this." But as it goes, you realize it's like smelling gasoline or like something exactly, smells. Or like it should be bad, but then you're like, "Actually, I'm kind of fucking into this." Only got better. Like truly.
Let me ask you. Here's the question. Mm. Here's the question that puts it over the top for me, because already I want to try to find this movie to watch.
Oh, we can. I can.
Is it on Tubi?
No, it literally does not exist except for Kevin Fart Noise's fake movie site.
Oh, well, I can find it on my own then, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally doesn't exist anywhere.
I was really hoping for Tubi.
I mean, there's some great stuff on Tubi right now. I'm pretty sure that's where I watched Bones, the Snoop Dogg film.
Oh,
that sounds right.
Oh, wait.
Sounds like the place that's...
Have you guys not seen Bones?
No.
Is it like Ghost Dog?
No, it's not at all. All right, don't even think about it. Don't look it up. I'm going to make one of you watch it, and somebody's going to fake Bones.
I mean, I know enough about Bones that I can't fake it.
I don't know enough about Bones, but mine is going to include Celie Booth and Temperance Brennan. 100%.
Yeah, I figured it.
Whatever.
Snoop Dogg is now the head of the Jeffersonian.
It's a choice for Temperance Brennan, but I'm, let's take a jump.
Sure, right. Anyway.
Oh, I just meant he's the new administrator. You think he's going to play Bones?
That would be Cam. I don't remember your last name, but Cam Newton? Okay. No.
Cam Winston from Frasier.
Definitely not.
Oh. Is that Frasier's rival in the building? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's really we're smart.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So with just shy of 6,000 votes, this has a 4.9 out of 10.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not great.
Pretty low.
But it's probably enough we could shift the tides.
$6,000? I don't know. What's up there?
Some people don't really have
that many listeners. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying we could if we just keep making
none of us...
burner accounts.
And... Yeah, I was going to say, how did none of us make
150
IMDb accounts at this point? Yeah.
That's a good point. We really do need to shift Lil Loopers.
Yeah.
We talked about it. We joked about it.
It was our best chance of all of them. All 276 of them.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm certain no one has seen that since we did. No human on Earth or anywhere else. Yeah.
You really don't think there's any Natalie Imbruglia completionists out there that watched Lil Loopers?
Man, it's still only got 136 ratings on it.
That we didn't even vote.
Be the same. No.
I didn't.
Yeah, it's got 5.4 with 136. So
I don't think I voted for anything else on IMDb. I do have an account for some reason, and I do like the idea that the only movie I ever voted on was Little Loopers. Just one and done for entire human existence.
It's like your your other movie account where you only...
Oh, my Letterboxd account where the only two movies I've ever reviewed are Barry Lyndon and The Country Bears.
Yep,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Man, I saw a post 2 days ago on the Blankies subreddit, and it was just, "You guys ever think about Barry Lyndon just all the time?" And I was
saw that post
I do.
Too.
I sure do.
Great. I have nothing to say about this. So
okay.
Yeah,
we said a lot, and it's really something. Yeah.
All right. So it was whatever. I'm on the Little Loopers site instead of the other one. 4.9. Yeah. All right.
4.9. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, is that better or worse than Little Loopers? It's worse than Little Loopers.
That is a crime. That's a goddamn shame. Fuck me.
Okay. Zach, you want to rate first or should I?
It's usually your thing. But
okay, I'll go first. Okay, so the original, it's dumb and fun and et cetera. Yeah.
Full of monsters.
There you go.
full of monsters. I don't know. It's actually pretty fun. And as a B movie, it's sort of like a weird hidden gem from this period, I think.
We agreed that as a getting drunk with your friends and watching a movie thing, it is nearly perfect.
This is really a good, drunken movie night movie with a bunch of assholes.
Yeah. And the trajectory is so good too, because it starts out and you're
a bunch of assholes, and we know a bunch of assholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost exclusively.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I'm gonna give it an order 66.
Okay.
I mean,
do it.
Kill the youngins.
And then for Lee, for your beautiful man / gross bodybuilder show. I mean, it seems pretty fun. I always like your endings, so you're gonna get a hot 7 for that.
Man, I don't know, based on like all of the IMDb stuff, it looked so stupid, and then we watched it, and again, as I just said, it was very stupid.
Like,
and
really
then
good.
All of a sudden
it's not good,
no,
but it's like
it's very enjoyable. We've watched a lot of bad movies that I'm just constantly checking how far I am through it and being astonished that it's not as far as it should be.
Tell me about it.
This was the opposite of that. Like, it was genuinely fun to watch. I'd go like a 7.4. I'm gonna go 7.4. Lee, your movie, I agree, is great. And I think, like I said in the beginning, I expected this to be sort of devolving into everyone being extremely brutal to each other and like trying to win at all costs.
Yeah, right. It was subversive.
You chose the goal was friendship the whole time version, which is really fun.
Just like the cannon was in your chest the whole time.
Exactly.
A lot like that, I think. Yeah, I love it. And yeah, your last scene is very evocative and you describe it well.
Always.
So yeah, I'm gonna go like 7.8 for you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I do have a way with words. You're right.
You do.
You're a real wordsmith. Like, I don't know anybody.
Okay.
All right. Next week.
Yeah. Fucking next week. What the fuck?
God. I know.
Damn it.
We really fell ass over tea kettle into this one.
Dude.
So
hey everybody, all five of you, listen to what movie Zach has never seen and knows nothing about.
And has been...
I get the never seen.
Sure. But it also has been on the list for now 7.5 years.
You know, I
and
never
it just
thought
never
that
came
was
up.
Legitimate.
That's fair. That's
I never thought that was
fair.
Legitimate.
Yeah. Allegedly extremely famous movie Dances with Wolves is the movie that I'll be doing next
week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think this is too much of a spoiler. Best picture.
I was gonna say
best
it won
director.
I know it won a lot of Oscars that year. Yeah.
You know what movie it beat for those awards? Goodfellas.
I have seen that movie.
Cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, I'm told. Yeah.
I get that. I missed, you know, most of the 90s, so like I don't.
Sure.
I understand, but to have no like bleed of what this
true.
Could possibly
it
be.
It is referenced in pop culture constantly.
Constantly.
It is, but nobody says like and then that
nobody
part
winks
the aliens
at the camera,
whatever,
right?
Yeah.
Nobody breaks the fourth wall to tell you this is a Dances with Wolves reference.
Hey, remember that scene from Dances with Wolves?
I know that one scene.
The only things I know that I think I said earlier were, Lee, you mentioned Kevin Costner's in it, and I said I did know that, and then also I think it takes place a long time in the past, but I'm not sure about how far or if that's
you don't
true,
even know so. Like it's just the past.
Yeah,
it could be yesterday.
Hey,
it's
Lee,
more than yesterday.
Time is relative, man.
I'm gonna guess 1800s or further. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Well, that's
don't know.
An interesting guess.
The past, but
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. So we're doing that.
Astonishing. Yeah. Astonishing that in this, the year of our me, fucking 2024, I have to watch Dances with Fucking Wolves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just saw Gone to the Wind for the first time like 2 years ago.
Well, that's
like,
fine. It's really boring and long.
I mean, and that movie is very old.
It's way too
long. Not from 1994. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is long and torturous.
I mean, roadshow movies were, it was a whole thing back then. Yeah. You make more money because of the way that they present them. Like, a ticket for a movie like that was, like, the equivalent of paying, like, $25 for, like, IMAX.
Oh.
Man,
yeah. So that, it,
I'm going to go see that popcorn bucket fucking movie in a couple
yeah.
of
yeah.
like a week or
like
something.
Two weeks. Something like that. Yeah.
At IMAX, and it was only $13. So.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Where's the closest? There's an IMAX near you?
Yeah, there's actually an IMAX at, you know, down on South, Southern-ish zone.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Weird. Yeah. Southern-ish.
I guess when I lived in the place you lived in, it was during COVID quarantine, and I was very much not going to see movies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, times. I'm going to get one of those popcorn buckets, and I'm going to fuck it.
I'm going to fuck it several times.
Are those popcorn buckets exclusive to a specific theater chain?
Maybe
or
it was AMC,
they...
but
probably.
Not sure.
Probably.
Yeah, because like I didn't know if they were just like everyone who's doing Dune has got these buckets.
Get the cool the cool butthole buckets, yeah.
The fuckets.
The fuck. It was right there. It was
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
I realized it halfway and I was like, I should have said the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a coulda shoulda.
Till next time, we're all gonna cut our dicks up real bad on some popcorn. Yeah,
they are made of tin. Like, oh. The buckets are made of tin. So.
It's a, really?
It's yeah, a real loss leader for the AMC movie chain. These cost $47 each.
I read a whole article about that, about the popcorn bucket thing. I'll tell you off mic. It's not that interesting.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And we all need to go fuck a bucket, so we got to get out of here.
Gotta
okay,
got to prep. Yeah.
And that's the end of that.
Got to do some stretches.
Mm. Yeah, naturally.
That'll do it.